What happens when less gets done with more people hired on? I'm David Brancaccio. Americans are expecting inflation to slow down a bit. That's according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's monthly survey of consumers. In July, respondents' typical or median expectation was for an annual inflation rate of 6.2%, down from about 6/10 of a percentage point from June. Some of that is gasoline prices, down for 50 days in a row now, $4.03 a gallon, the national average. Your price will vary. And today, the smaller firms that are part of the National Federation of Independent Business indicated that they were in a better mood in July compared to June. Let's check the economic pulse today by turning to Jeffrey Cleveland of Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
Well, I think the average consumer does respond to gas prices. So when gas prices are up, inflation concerns are up. When gas prices are down, the opposite. I think it also weighs on sentiment for small businesses and for the average person. Inflation is a big problem. It eats into people's income. So a little bit less inflation is good for sentiment. That's the story here, I think.
All right. This other topic, we could convene an entire weekend symposium, but short answer, we learned today that productivity in America, how much we're all getting done, fell by the most year over year in the spring, by the most ever recorded. And they've been checking since 1948. What's the broad brush going on?
Well, I think the way to think about this is output in the United States in the first half of the year, so the first and second quarter, output actually shrank in terms of how it's measured. So we produced less stuff over the first part of the year. At the same time, in this country, firms hired more than 3 million people over the first half of the year or so. So you have a lot more people working, but output is down. And so that is your decline in productivity.
All right. Well, we'll continue the discussion because it still falls under the category of weird, right, Jeffrey?
It is a mystery. We'll see how this plays out.
Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at the investment firm Payden & Riegel. Thank you.
Have a good week.
In early trading, the Dow is down 66 points, 0.2%. The S&P is down 0.4%. The NASDAQ is down almost 1.1%. The Biden administration has announced it's sending another $1 billion in military aid to Ukraine. The Pentagon says this is the single largest U.S. delivery to that country since the Russian invasion more than 5 months ago. Barbara Plett-Usher is following this for our partners at the BBC.
This latest arms package will be the biggest U.S. delivery yet of missiles, rockets, and ammunition. The supplies will come directly from Defense Department stocks, so they can be sent more quickly. The economic assistance will help Kyiv pay for essential government services, such as hospitals, schools, and other critical infrastructure. It will also deliver urgently needed humanitarian supplies and protect pensions. Ukrainian officials estimate the country's budget deficit is growing by $5 billion every month, and the World Bank says it expects more than half of the population will be living in poverty by the end of next year.
And U.S. aerospace giant Northrop Grumman says it will soon stop using Russian engines on the rockets it builds to get supplies up to the International Space Station. A startup rocket engine company in Texas called Firefly will get the business instead. The Russian currency, the ruble, has been up near a seven-year high to the dollar this summer, despite international sanctions. That's partially because of surging oil prices and other Russian countermeasures for the currency. One sector in Russia that is facing uncertainty since the conflict in Ukraine started is so-called mining of cryptocurrency, the process through which computers churn away at the slow and intensive process of creating new digital currencies like Bitcoin. Russia has been a leader in crypto mining, but that position is now in question, as Levi Bridges reports.
To mine Bitcoin, it really helps to have a cold climate to keep the computers cool and cheap energy to power them. Russia has both those things. So last year, Bitcoin miner Denis Rusinovich was thinking seriously about starting a mining business in Russia. Rusinovich was born in Russia, but is a British citizen.
Purely from a Bitcoin mining perspective, definitely Russia was a top destination, but it was last year.
This year, after Russia invaded Ukraine, things look completely different. Sanctions have isolated Russia from the global economy. But for Rusinovich, in addition to the geopolitical situation, a big deal breaker right now is the ruble strength. Doing business in Russia is more expensive.
A stronger ruble, actually, I think it's reducing the potential of any mining operations in Russia.
The price of Bitcoin has plunged this summer. But when Bitcoin tumbled last summer, mining in Russia wasn't strongly affected, says Alexander Nomala of the University of Cambridge's Bitcoin Electricity Consumption Index.
Russia is, in terms of its mining activity, relatively stable.
But Numala says at the start of this crash, things look different in Russia.
We saw already that Russia is slightly declining in terms of its actual mining activity.
Now, some Russian miners are trying to move their operations to nearby countries. Sanjar Amangildi is a lawyer representing Bitcoin miners in Kazakhstan. He says Russian miners approached his firm about operating there, but they appeared to be involved in criminal activity.
And we declined their offers.
Some U.S. lawmakers have warned that crypto mining could help criminals and the Russian government evade sanctions. But the risk is low, says Jonathan Levin with crypto research platform Chainalysis.
The scale that you would need to build this at is somewhat massive in order to move the needle on sanctions evasions.
The latest data from Cambridge suggests the electricity used by Bitcoin miners globally has fallen since early June. I'm Levi Bridges for Marketplace.
Now, our producers are Meredith Gerritsen, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Erica Soderstrom, and Jared Dang. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.